Ooba chaka.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me.
That's all we need. That's all. That's good enough, man.
All good, man.
Wait, was that Pulp Fiction or Reservoir Dogs? That was, no.
I don't know.
It was one of Quentin's films.
He's got great films.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure
great
out
which soundtrack, one. Soundtrack,
Geek. Yeah, it was cast. Either Pulp or Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, together. I haven't seen Pulp. My brother's a huge Pulp guy.
You haven't seen Pulp?
No. Reservoir Dogs, though? Holy
if man. Anything, those are the two films that you should watch, and that's it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just,
oh, no, I'm a big Django guy, man. You seen that?
It's okay.
Oh, I love Django.
Like, it's just like, I like his younger stuff. Like, it's just,
yeah.
It was more raw. And even the first Kill Bill, I like that
Kill
too
Bill's
as well.
Great.
I didn't like the second Kill Bill, but.
Yeah, the first one's just. Too golden. You can't follow that up, man.
Well, speaking of which, look, I mean, TMC. Yeah. I got TMC's hoodie here. It's freaking the yellow jumpsuit. Talk about Bruce Lee and bringing it back.
All
and
dressed
that
like
thing,
a pylon. Right? We're good to go.
I know. That's all I needed, right?
Yeah, but yeah.
Choose Dahl for your plumbing needs and discover the peace of mind that comes with their unwavering reliability and exceptional service. Experience the Dahl difference and join the growing community of contractors who trust in their expertise and rely on their products. Check out Dahl at www.dahlvalve.com and on social at Dahl Valve. Do you dread the office? Are you spending your personal time on paperwork? Join the club. The good news is there's a solution that isn't hard or overwhelming. With SyncedUp's estimating and job tracking software, you can plan for it and hit your profit goals all while cutting your estimating time by up to 90%. Do you know where your money is going? Are you sure you're even making money? SyncedUp will show you exactly where your money is going with its simple budgeting tool, revealing those cash leaks so you can take back control of your business. Do you wonder if all those payroll hours are making you money or costing you money? SyncedUp tracks your unbillable labor, helping you optimize for project efficiency and ensuring each job is profitable. At SyncedUp, they're here to help contractors thrive, not just survive. Get a budgeting consultation with a synced up expert looking over your shoulder to help you optimize your company's budget for free using the link in the show notes. If you love what you see, you can use the TCL discount and get 20% off on your first 6 months. Annual plan is required. Just click on the link in the show notes to book your call with the sales team and mention the TCL podcast. Check out SyncedUp.com and at SyncedUp on IG to level up your business. This podcast is brought to you by Redmond Distributing, a proud family-owned and operated HVAC supplier, serving Ontario for the past 22 years. With warehouses conveniently located in both Mississauga and Ottawa, they specialize in providing premium HVAC and hearth equipment across the region. Redmond Distributing is committed to supporting HVAC businesses with their dedicated customer service, reliable warranties, free training sessions in their operational facility, inventory management, and free delivery to most locations in Southern Ontario. For a partnership with true HVAC equipment specialists, choose Redmond Distributing. Explore more at www.redmonddistributing.com. Are you looking for a sustainable and durable real wood solution to elevate your next project? Let me introduce you to the gold standard. Thermory, the world's largest and most trusted manufacturer of thermally modified wood and sauna materials. Their wood is like the superhero version of regular wood, stronger, more stable, and ready to take on whatever Mother Nature throws its way. With a wide range of thermally modified wood products from decking and cladding to sauna and statement walls, when you choose Thermory, you're not just investing in quality, you're investing in the health of our planet too. Join countless architects, designers, builders, and homeowners who have trusted Thermory to bring their vision to life. The best way to fully experience the Thermory difference is to hold the real thing in your hands. So visit their website today at www.thermoryusa.com and also find them on IG at ThermoryUSA. Looking for cutting-edge solutions for your spray foam needs? Look no further than Elastichem Specialty Chemicals. With a remarkable track record spanning over three decades, Elastichem stands as an industry-leading supplying contractors across Canada with top-grade closed-cell, open-cell, and specialty foam products and accessories. Experience hassle-free spraying in both summer and winter with Insulthane Extreme, Canada's groundbreaking HFO closed-cell product. Time is precious, and we know it. Optimize your efficiency and avoid downtime by choosing the best products with the best technical and customer support. Elevate your spray foam game today with Insulthane Spray Foam products by Elastichem. Give them a try today. Visit their website at www.elastichem.com or give them a call at 1-877-787-2436. David, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on board. I know that we met through Laura.
Yeah.
That's how that
kind of... My plumbing adventure.
Yeah, exactly, yep. Right? So she's been on the show, and then I bumped into her recently, too, at CMPX and yep. Everything like that. It was a whole plumbing thing going on. Were you there?
No, I didn't get to go.
You didn't get a chance to go there?
I was stuck in school.
Yeah, it was a good experience. It was smaller than what I remember it being, but it was still a good experience to be there, right?
Yeah.
So technically, fourth year, you're still in trade school.
Yep.
Love plumbing.
Oh, yeah, love plumbing.
But you're on the... fence on union, non-union, or are you gonna...
Oh, no, I think there's pros and cons to each. Like, okay. I'm part of 46. I think there's, like I said, it's kind of, you got to take what you can take from it. So, again, I'm speaking from my own experience.
Yeah,
so
course, 100%.
I find a lot of the guys that are non-union tend to know a little more because you're forced to know. Whereas in the union, I found that you're stuck in one area and that's what you're doing for either the rest of your career.
Bathtub Johnny thing.
Yeah. Like, I know a guy that's been doing bathtubs for 17 years and that's all he does.
He likes it.
He likes the pay. So he doesn't want to go up anymore, which to me is kind of a joke. Like,
what is the pay at that point?
Fifth year pay for, I think he's ICI. So he's probably pulling 38 an hour, roughly.
Just installing bathtubs.
That's all he does.
Every single unit.
Yeah. They don't worry about... There's no stress as being a journeyman.
There is no stress. It's pure...
cookie cutter.
Serenity now.
Same thing. I couldn't do that, man.
But a lot of union... That's what the union...
They kind of force you to do... Like, my own experience. So, like, they kind of force you into one thing. So, like, I worked for a low-rise company. And if you did finishing in houses... All you did was finishing in houses. There's a guy I knew that for 10 years, all he did was fire caulk. And then he bitched to the union and they're like, all right, let's fix this. And then all he does is boilers and finishing. There's guys that just rough in. Like, I kind of find that embarrassing.
But they're all licensed plumbers.
Yes and no. But the licensed guys, the licensed guys I know are good, but they won't know anything past their sectors.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like you're missing an opportunity that if you're going to get to this point where you actually become the licensed plumber.
It's a barrier scene to call yourself a journeyman.
You can't.
Yeah.
You shouldn't.
That's why I think there should be a practical portion to the Red Seal. You have to rough in. Now you're going to go troubleshoot this portion. And then whatever. We want you to draw this just because you can't build like a 6-story building on a day, but draw it out for us. I want you to draw it out. Like, I think there should be a whole...
The majority won't be able to.
Well-rounded, exactly. I think.
But the majority of custom resi will be able to.
Yeah, like, for me, I found that doing low-rise, because I did piecework rough-in for a year and a half, 2 years.
Okay.
It carries... I find that's kind of like the base to your meal. So... Everything after that's kind of your spices that make it good. But if you have the base down, everything else it's the same shit on repeat. Like, different material. Maybe there's an extra thing like, oh, it's not all just sinks anymore. Now you got floor sinks to think about. Maybe you've got grease interceptors to think about. Yeah. I did a gray water pit just to change the pumps with Romeo Mechanical. Awesome.
This is all like amazing stuff that I'm fascinated by. It never applied to me because I never dove into those waters, like literally. But you guys need to know this stuff. Like
when you
put in those situations, you need to know it, right?
I would be, if I was licensed, I wouldn't want to be that guy that's like, I'm just lost and I need to call someone or subcontract. Like, I'd want to have at least a small idea of what I'm looking at. Because that, to me, is just a little embarrassing.
So, I mean, this show's about talking about plumbing, not union, non-union, just the whole plumbing industry and what's going on, young, old, the landscape, everything. Yeah. That's what we're going to talk about. And I don't want, I definitely don't want to knock on the door. And I don't want to, like, be the opening scene in Casino and, you know, my Cadillac explode. I don't want that. But I'm just like, from what I've been told, because I'm not that versed in the union world, but a lot of people that tell me about the union world, they're just like, the union today are designed to help the weak.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But again, like I said, there's a lot of benefits to the union.
There's a lot of benefits.
The schooling that you can get
from the
union.
All
if
the
you
training,
apply yourself in the union, you can become an amazing plumber. The same thing, even non-union. But the opportunities are there for, like, if you go to our night school list is crazy. The extra licenses you can get, just extra information, even if you're not getting licensed in it to learn, you're not going to get that anywhere else. There's a huge benefit to that if you're a union member, and you should take advantage of that. And I don't understand the people that don't.
Well, they go back to Bathtub Johnny, where it's like they get so happy with, I don't have to think about anything and I'm getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
I literally just have to show up at work, do my job. I know that if I do this many things during the course of the day, I did my day's work and I got paid for it. And times that by 5, times that by 52. And here's that's it.
Pay. Yeah.
That's my pay. And I know what the end of the rainbow is all about. I know what my pension is going to be.
That's where you get those things where people say it's like hide and seek for a grand a week. That's a bad scene, man. It's a bad image. And I think I'd love to change that. Like if I,
how do you change it though? It would cost you more.
Oh yeah.
To be a part of that game, to find these people.
Yeah. There's that. But there's also, I think the way an apprenticeship should be structured shouldn't just be, you're stuck doing one thing. I think you should be forced to change. You should go through everything. So again, with the union, you're in one sector and it's kind of an ass to get out of that sector and go somewhere else. Like it's on you. You got to argue for it because they want you to stay in your one sector. You're building your pension in that sector. Other than that, I don't understand why they won't let you switch around. My experience is I started doing service plumbing where you need to learn how to troubleshoot. You kind of have to have an understanding of everything. Went to the rough-in, did the finishing. It's kind of whatever at this point.
Yeah.
Then I went to ICI where it's like, that's a whole other animal. But again, it's you got the foundation from rough-in. You can pretty much do a restaurant. You're just adding in, like I said, you're adding in the seasoning to your meal. Mm-hmm. So it's the extra stuff now, like grease interceptors, floor sinks, different types of material. But then I think you should be well-versed in every single sector, including high-rise, in order to be a good plumber.
I agree. Because what you'll learn in all these different applications, but let's flip it back to what the stigma is associated with the union, though. It's about assisting the weak.
Yeah.
So it's like all of a sudden you're going to get a large portion of people coming into the industry and that specific trade won't be able to succeed. They will not be able to pass and move forward if you're asking them to do that.
Yeah, it gives them more of that, we have the best of this. Like, yeah, he's the best finisher because that's all he does is finish. So I really think that that structure should be changed completely.
How long has it been that way?
I don't know. I've been in the union for...
As far back as you can think of, right?
I've been in the union for a few years now.
You ain't going to change it. The union was a great idea in the early days about helping.
I still think it is.
Support.
Yeah.
But I think it's a manipulated idea these days. That's the problem.
Yeah. Like I said, it's kind of just... You can... There's pros and cons to it.
And where did you get... Did you get... Okay, so the on-the-job training... Was it the commercial first or was it resi first?
No, so I started with service work with the plumbing expert, with Ellie.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
So from I did.
So you know a bunch of the guys that have been on the show so far.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing you learn in the trades. It's a small community. Oh, you better watch what you say. Yeah. Watch your reputation because that'll come back to bite you in the ass real quick.
Yep.
But yeah, Ellie was my first boss, got me signed up as an apprentice. I did, I think, 8 months with him.
Nice.
Doing service work. Ellie is a guy.
He's a great teacher.
He's a great guy. I just see differently business-wise. So for me, it was like, okay, I need to go learn something new. He doesn't do a lot of rough-in stuff, and I wanted to learn how to rough-in. So I made a couple phone calls. Somebody from my mom's high school was in the union and was like, oh, here, gave me some numbers, got me hooked up. Went to the union, started with just doing finishing, which, like, whatever. And again, I run my mouth a lot when it comes to, I want to learn. Like,
on the site?
No, in general. Like, I want to learn. I don't want to sit and do one thing.
Hang on. You say you run a mouth. You mean you're asking questions?
I'll, what's the word I'm looking for here? I'll advocate for myself, whereas most guys will sit silently. But a lot of guys don't like that. So I don't like the fact that I was just doing finishing, so I bitched.
Speak up.
Yeah, I bitched a bunch of times, and then they're like, all right, go to this guy. So I went to a pieceworker, and you're tossed right into the fire with pieceworkers. They don't give a fuck. Like, you're going to learn or you're going to burn. That is the mentality. It was great, though. Like, I'm at the point where it's helped me a lot in school because I didn't fully understand what I was doing, like that aspect of it. But I knew how to do it. Like, if you're like, oh, go rough in this three-piece, go tie in three washrooms to the stack, whatever it was, I'm like, oh, I can do it. I can size it, all that. Then when I went to school, I'm like, oh, I know what's going on. Now you're just putting it into a code. So, exactly. Like, it would just piece together better for me. And then there's some stuff that happened there. Left that company.
How long were you there for?
A year and a half or 2 years.
Okay, that's a big chunk of change.
Yeah.
How was the school?
School, I just started now. I'm at Sheridan.
So how's it going? The instructors, the classmates.
Classmates are awesome.
Everybody's kind of in the same mindset?
I like it because everybody's from a different field or like different sector.
Okay.
So my one teacher put it best. He's like, if I gave you guys the Red Seal right now, you would fail. But if I gave you all the Red Seal to do it together, he's like, you guys would pass with flying colors, which as school's gone on, because we got like 2 weeks left, I can see what he's saying, because there's guys that are in like Timbuktu Perry Sound and they're working on like out of ground sewage pumps. Like I've never seen a sewage pump out of ground. It's always been dug.
Okay.
Guys that just do like the actual water services or the mains, like to neighborhoods. Never done that in my life, but there's guys that do that. There's people that have done service in every single sector. There's guys that work in every single sector. There's a whole group of high-rise guys who are lost unless it's above six stories. It's but like overall, like you can see, like everybody's got knowledge in their own way.
And but this is done by design.
I don't know. Or I is just it, know, it? You just get called in.
You just get called in that way, and it's just you fall into that particular.
Yeah, you just get a whole group of people with different experiences.
So what's your like you now that you've got a taste of a little bit of everything here, are you figuring out what the best course for you is?
I'd like to go into high rise just to do it.
Experience it.
Yeah. Like I love doing cast iron. It's awesome. And you feel like a real man just slinging cast all day.
It's hard work.
I know, but there's something about it that's like really interesting. But I just really like the service side because I like getting my, like I love problem solving and I find you do that the most in service. Plus if you do service work and then go to do any kind of rough in after, you'll look at it differently because you'll think of it for a future perspective of like, if I need to snake this drain, if I need to change this valve, if I, let's say the clean out leaks and I'm using cast iron, I'm not going to put my MJ bands in the back of the wall. I'm going to have the nuts facing forward. So when I cut the drywall, it's like, oh, they're right there. Perfect. You just think of things like further down the line. So I think for me right now is I want to go back to service. It's just, I like to have my brain working and the cookie cutter stuff from Ruffin's.
Kind what of, percentage of a plumber industry are you saying that you want your brain working, that you don't want to just do a bathtub? You want to learn, I want to experience, try this and try that. Like what percentage of the industry are you? Like what less than 10%?
Oh, yeah.
90% is just basically...
They're happy to do one thing. And that's like whatever, to each their own.
Yeah.
But for me, I would rather be a well-rounded plumber.
Are you looking at it doing that way because you want to just absorb all the knowledge, or is it because it's on a path of making more income?
No, it's definitely more knowledge. Eventually, I would love to open my own service business.
Okay.
But I think before that, I want to gain the knowledge because then, like you said, I could charge more because you can get call three companies that only do one specific thing. You call me, well, I can do it all.
Yeah.
That's how I've been looking at it.
But it makes sense to do it that way too. Plus, you can't really learn that in school, right? You got to get on the job site.
Oh, yeah.
To actually experience the whole follow through, right?
I think they both kind of fall hand in hand. Like I said,
there's a precursor. Like you kind of
need to get like a
prepare yourself.
Yeah. It's like you're looking into a blurry thing and then school kind of puts on the glasses. You're oh, there it is.
Now I see the pieces together.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's, I think they go hand in hand.
How's the social media community for plumbers?
I follow a lot of the guys.
Okay. Well, you mentioned that the industry is kind of small.
Oh, it's very small.
But I'm just assuming it's even smaller.
For social media, yeah. I'm just trying to get into it now. Like, I do a lot more on TikTok, but Laura, who got me onto the show, My Plumbing Adventure, is pushing my Instagram right now because like, she's great.
What's your handle on Instagram? Is it private or is it plumbing?
Oh, no, it's plumbing. It's plumbing. What is it? Public, Dave's.drains.
Okay.
And, she's pushing me to use my Instagram more. She's awesome. She pretty much called me on lunch the one day and just goes, Your Instagram shit, we're going to work on that. I'm like, all right, sick. She's like, okay, this is how you do this. This is the algorithm. I'm like, I just post the post, but okay. So she's making me clean that up.
Yeah.
And then I just asked her how like that works because that community is small. So like even today I commented on the Blue Collar Nerd podcast. They're another trade podcast. I commented on their thing because they're like, oh, we're firing up the show again.
Yeah.
And like I comment on it. Again, I'm a nobody. And then to have them reply to my comment, I'm like, holy shit.
But that's how
like,
it happens, right?
Yeah, you feel great. Because yeah. Like to me, they're all celebrities.
Everybody's a tradesperson. Everybody's just blue collar. Everybody. Just,
yeah, like
there's a small, let's go back to the single digit that they think that they're massive influencing celebrities that are dictating where the industry is going.
Which is what I thought they'd be like, but they're not. They're all awesome.
Yeah.
I thought Laura would be like, cause in class we're all quiet. Nobody knows each other the first day. She came in, like sat at the front and I turned to the guy beside me. I'm like, oh, is that my plumbing adventure? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh crap, this is so cool. I'm in school with a celebrity. And then thinking like, she's going to be like, oh, do you know who I am? That's how I thought she was.
No,
she's the sweetest person on this planet. She's like, let me help you with this. Here's whatever. She's got questions. We work on assignments together.
They're generally, everybody's willing to want to work with each other, help each other, build each other. Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 24, I turned 25 at the end of the month.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I mean, you're dealing with a lot of people that are in their 20s and their 30s,
yeah,
and they're all getting it, and I mean, they're navigating through the social waters as well too, and then they start sharing their experiences, and all of a sudden it starts creating a following. It's as simple as that, right?
Yeah,
it's the ones that just like want to just focus on being a celebrity. Let them be. That's fine. It's great.
Yeah, do your thing. But I think you should be promoting the trades more with your social media. 100%. And I think a lot of the guys that are on there, a lot of the girls are doing a good job of that.
Yeah, I agree.
And making it. It's got a lot of stigma around it to this day. And like, I wasn't planning on getting into the trades when I was young, but as you,
what was on the list?
Originally was policing. So I got into volunteer policing before this. And then,
I didn't like it.
Too much politics for me. And then I got into the trades and I never thought I could be a tradesperson. I'm like, oh, it's too hard work, long days. Those are like tough guys. And I could have never do it. Then you get into it.
This is
like,
before you stepped on a job.
Oh yeah. I've never like, I was green. And then you get on, you're like, they're all like me and you.
Regular people. Yeah, everybody honest people.
Yeah. They'll bust your balls a little bit. You'll meet your fair share of assholes. But overall, everybody's kind of like how you see them online. The new generation coming in is very positive. Nobody's there to break you down. It's like, I don't understand that old school mentality of yelling, scream. It doesn't work.
It's dead and buried. Yeah. It doesn't exist anymore. It used to be there.
Yeah.
I think it's there. Off. Yeah. It's there between the friends that are already know each other and they're just shooting the shit, having fun, and they're just razzing each other.
Yeah.
At a certain level. But they're not throwing bricks or wheelbarrows or tools.
Like I'll bust the balls of every electrician on site.
Yeah.
Every electrician. I don't care.
Every electrician busts the balls of every plumber on site.
They try their best. It doesn't work. Right? The one guy, he's like, you know, I used to like plumbers and then I met you and I went, you know what they say, man, don't meet your heroes. You bust each other's balls in a friendly way, but like that era of yelling and stuff, they're dying off and it's good. And I think people need to look past that, get into a trade.
Yeah.
They're awesome. You're always going to have a job. There's no AI that's going to take your job from you. There's so much to learn. Every day is a reward and you will, like I wake up happy going to work. I've never woken up and been like, fuck, I got to go to work again. It's Monday. Whatever. The weeks will fly by. Like you'll be like, fuck, it's Friday.
But have you done the shit jobs? Have you done?
Oh yeah,
you've done the shit jobs,
man. But you learn that's the best. Yeah. You get the funniest jokes from that, especially when you're stuck in like some basement covered in shit with your buddies, and it's just, like people are like, oh, that's disgusting. No, that's not all plumbing. You're talking like 0.1% of the time.
Yeah,
but it's hilarious. So like, yeah, you're in the shit of it.
So why did you choose plumbing though? Like, if you didn't get into trades, no family history.
My grandfather was a drywaller.
Okay.
Which is hilarious that I got into plumbing because I hate drywallers. They love to cause problems on the site. Drilling holes in my water lines.
Yeah, all kinds of shit like that. Well, it depends on what site you're on, right?
There's good, like I said, there's good
sites that everyone gets along. It's a nice utopia. Everyone's getting along. Everyone's bringing coffees. Oh, like shit like that,
We had a sprinkler fitter that was like that.
Yeah.
Never met a sprinkler fitter in my life. The nicest people you'll ever meet. That's my view of a sprinkler fitter now because of that one guy. Is that they're all really nice.
So what did you choose? If your grandfather was drywall and nobody else is in a trade, why did you choose Plumbing as the front horse?
So I think stereotypes kind of worked in my advantage here. I said the guy that got me into plumbing, I guess, is like my mom's friend. And my mom's like, oh, you know, plumbers aren't the smartest people. You don't have to do too much math. And like, I'm not school smart. I struggle in school. So I got that stigma of, oh, like they're not smart, but they make a lot of money. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. Now I use math every fucking day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, shit. Like, wrong trade.
They're smart.
Yeah. You don't realize how much goes into plumbing.
Yeah.
Like what, there's something like in the last 1,000 years, plumbers have done more for your health than the medical field. Like I bring clean water to your house. I take your dirty water away. You don't smell it. You don't deal with it. You're not dealing with E. coli.
If you do your job correctly.
Yes.
All those ifs are yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like people don't understand. That's just a basic of plumbing.
Yeah.
We're not even getting into like the hydronics that I kind of dabble
in. Luxury. Yeah. Let's get into the luxury now.
You know like what I people mean? That you don't have to shovel your driveway anymore. You can just sit there and, oh, there's snow and it automatically heats up your driveway it's for magic. You. You don't need to worry about heating in your house as much because you can have in-floor heating that you set the, I don't know, Fahrenheit, but it's like 70 degrees yeah, and then yeah. you're comfortable. Like there's a lot more to it than people think. It's constant math. A lot of it is kind of done by the engineer beforehand, which is nice. Because like I really don't want to sit there and be like, okay, I have this big a sink. I need to calculate the gallons per minute into this grease interceptor. So that's pre-done. That's kind of nice. But there is a lot to plumbing. There's a lot to every trade that people don't get. Yeah. Like I'll make fun of electricians again, going back to them, because I have a lot of friends where it's just, yeah, green to green, red to red, you know, whatever. It's color matching. All right, boys, we get it. It's
not as simple as that. But
you know, they're like the kids in elementary school that were happy in class because they did the color matching and the math. And then plumbers are cool. We were like the recess kids that got to dig in the sand pit. We still got to do it.
You're going to make a bunch of friends here. You realize that as much as I've been doing a lot of plumbing shows, electricians are still listening. Oh, man. Yeah. They totally are listening.
Carlo on your show is yeah. my cousin. He's an electrician. The majority of my friends are all electricians, so they'll come at me after this. Yeah, but no, man, it's
all done out of love. That's yeah. simple as that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the ball busting you'll get into in yes. the trades. That's the extent of it. Nobody's going to put you down.
But you're too young to be miserable. Of this mindset.
What do you mean?
Like, you're too young to understand that it's not really negative razzing.
No, I think it's good.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's like it's part of being a part of the brother and sisterhood.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
You're all in this shit together.
Yes.
You're all going to have your bad days together. You yes. have to understand that your trade is, at the end of the day, although like plumbing is the best trade on the planet, nobody can tell me different. You do need
to... I disagree with you. I see, say they're all good.
But you do need to learn to work together. Like, yes. Okay, yeah, I understand your junction box needs to go here, but I have a vent that I can't offset because of some structural thing. So now you got to work together to figure out a way to move but my vent.
You know that in the future, you're going to get to a scenario where there's so much electrical going on with plumbing these days.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You better play well.
You oh, yeah. I'm saying, to we that make point. Friends. Yeah, I don't want to... It makes
I need
it,
a GFI.
Yeah, it's I don't want to be hostile.
Yeah.
Electricians on the last slide out were fucking awesome. They look at the spec.
What made them awesome?
We just talked together.
You guys communicated. Yeah, yes.
That's the biggest thing. So, yes. like, we were on our specs. They wanted primers in a commercial setting or on – it's on a mechanical device.
Okay.
So it's not like you turn on your sink and then there's a primer loop through the back
yeah.
or whatever. It's on its own little system, but that needs power to it. So on the drawing – they normally put it beside the service sink at the back of the store so nobody sees it.
Yeah.
But me and the journeyman I was with were like, kind of makes more sense to just put it in the center of the store behind the kitchen area, that it's less material for all of us. It's less like distance for all the primer lines to run. So we put up all of our stuff, the electricians fall behind. And instead of just putting a junction box in, the guy goes, hey, I know you guys have this over here, but on the specs it says here what's going on. So I'm like, oh, we thought this, that, and the other thing. And he goes, okay, moves it over for us. Then in the next one, because they were ahead of us, he's like, oh, I see on the specs that the hot water tank goes here, but I feel like that's going to be a bad area because they were putting a fridge in or something. And he's like, where are you guys going to put it? So together, everybody plans it out, goes a little off the engineer's specs, but we're like, okay, we're going to go on the other side of the wall. It's going to work out better. You have to work together because the last thing you want is 2 days before a store opens or a house is getting moved into, that, oh, we got to rip open your wall because we got to add X, Y, and Z. You need to work together.
I never asked this question because I was curious about it because I just assumed. But in high rise, obviously high rise, cast iron.
From what I understand, yes.
Majority of it, right? But are they all hot water tanks for your domestic hot water supply?
I've never done high rise, so I don't full or
are they done they're, one. They're not on demand, are they?
I don't know. I've all only been in
listening right now, like going, what the fuck?
Yeah, man? You should know this stuff. No, yeah, I've only been in stuff. One high rise building, and it was to fix. It was old.
Why am I assuming it's a hot water tank in a commercial application?
It depends. There's huge ones. We just put in the that's one what we I put mean. It was like an.
My, and where I'm going gallon. With this, where I'm going with this is like, why are we being forced to go on demand systems for residential applications when commercial is going tank systems?
I don't know. I think it's the commercial is more spec'd by an engineer, so it's up to them.
That's a sidebar.
I don't know too much.
I'm just
about
curious
it.
About that, but yeah, I agree with you that eventually like you tanks. Guys are all going to play well.
Yeah,
and it's the same thing with the framers. If they start building certain things, a good framer is aware of. They start framing where the bathroom is, or they start framing a wet area, kitchen, island, or whatever.
Yeah.
They're aware of not to do certain things, like don't throw blocking at a bunch of places where the island's going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And all of a sudden you're forcing somebody to
fight
it.
A good framer for a residential setting is if they know where the shower is going to be, especially in an ensuite, instead of just putting up your studs, they'll build it's kind of like a lattice wall or ladder wall. I can't remember the name of it. So they'll have their two studs, and then they'll have wood going in between all the studs.
Yeah.
So instead of notching a stud or we got to move stuff or whatever, there's a whole wall for us to put our plumbing in and just mount it nice and neat. That's a good framer. Somebody that thinks ahead.
They won't put a stud right in the center right in of the shower.
No, they build you a nice little section for your stuff to sit in.
And I've always done framer. That. You cradle it.
Yeah.
You just open it up going, listen, odds are that valve is going to go right here.
Yeah.
Right. If that's anybody, and maybe it doesn't go that way. Maybe they want to design it differently, but if you already give them that option, then you're already are aware of that.
Yeah, and that comes with experience
100%,
too.
100%, right?
Yeah.
But that's what I mean is that everybody can razz everybody. Everyone's got their jokes. Like, I've heard all the jokes, but the only thing that changes is what trade it was, depending on what trade is telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard the same electrical joke from a plumber, but it was the...
yeah. Yeah. That whole.
But that's part of the industry. That's how it all works, right?
Yeah.
So where else are you getting your information from? You're networking online. You're networking in school. You're networking on the job site. So like I said, you're rare because you're speaking up and you're asking questions and you're expressing an opinion. But the majority of the industry that's coming in or people that are coming into the industry are not doing that. They're too afraid to do any of that.
In my experience, they're just kind of happy with where they're at. Maybe like there's guys that like you don't have to be ambitious. Like there's people that if you're happy with what you're doing, then go ahead, do your thing. But for me, it's I want to drive myself more to learn more. Like I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to be that guy that walks on and goes, I don't know. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I'd rather have somewhat of an idea. So I like to push myself. I think more people in the industry should be more ambitious. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot more to plumbing specifically than just gluing pipe together.
Yep.
So I'm always looking to learn more. I'll look up plumbing in my spare time. I love the trade.
But you're looking up, what are you looking up exactly? Like
right now
techniques?
I'm getting into gray water systems.
Gray water systems.
I did one pump and I was like, this is sick. I got to learn more about this. So I want to do something more with that. Like in the future, I'd love to do something with gray water systems, make them in more of a residential setting. Maybe, I don't know, man, there's got to be a way to tie that in with filtration and make it so that the water's more usable. So you get all that eco-friendly shit coming in. I'd love to get more into gray water.
At a government perspective, why would you want to do that? That makes no sense.
You can make the homeowner save money. For me, it makes money too, because now I got to troubleshoot your system. It's one extra system in your house.
Yeah.
But if I can get something that like the government doesn't have to, you have Lake Ontario supplying the majority of the GTA. You don't really have to have that as much now, because now a gray water system takes not your black water, but it'll take any water from a shower and a sink, because nobody pees in the shower, right? So, yeah.
Since when?
Nobody pees in the shower.
Since when?
Yeah. So gray water is supposed to be semi-clean. Like black water is your urine and your shit. So nobody pees in the shower. Okay. But the gray water system takes that, from my understanding, cleans it out a bit, and then it'll put it back into your toilet tank. So you're not using fresh, clean water to flush your tanks.
Okay, so let's talk about the costs on that, because now you're going to have to separate systems, right?
That's the problem.
Right, so is it now, like, we're already fighting in the real world when it comes to custom resi. You're already fighting recirc lines. You're already fighting all kinds of stuff, and now you want to start doing drains, dedicated drains for certain things. You already have
that, though, technically.
They have it in commercial applications, but in residential?
Yeah, you have your storm system and your sanitary. You can't tie it together.
No, you can't tie that, but in the home.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Everywhere, it's Costanza in the gym at the YMCA. You know what I mean? Like, he was peeing in the shower, and then he got busted for it, and all of a sudden, you're probably too young, Seinfeld. But I mean, like, he was peeing in the shower, he got caught, someone complained about him, and he was like, what's the big deal? It's the same fucking pipe. It goes down the same fucking pipe. It's all connected, right? But what I'm saying is that now you want to do a dedicated for the toilet, and you want to do a dedicated for the shower. What's the cost associated with that? Oh, instead of actually having a toilet that flushes
your regular, clean water. I know, that's the thing. I'd look into it, but that's what's really gauged my interest.
What are your thoughts on the heat recovery stack? I know Laura just did a post about it. Okay, there you go.
I think those things
are... So she did it, and she did a post, and I shared my two cents, and I just like... I don't like anything that the government pushes that is affiliated with a conflict, because you've got a government MP has a family member that's producing that product to be sold into the code.
I got a question for you after then. But yeah, I find those things are bullshit, because you lose heat as the water goes. So you, in order for that thing to be effective, you'd have to have it really close to your boiler. Because if you run 10, 20, 30 feet before that...
You have to have it close to your boiler or to your tank.
To your tank.
And you have to have it close to your shower. Yeah. So I don't know about you, but I don't know how many showers are close to the hot water tank.
Exactly.
Hot water tanks are generally on the basement floor. And your showers are generally on the second floor.
It runs off the hot, like your water when it comes down a vertical doesn't just drop; it spirals.
Spirals.
So it's supposed to heat up that copper pipe.
But by the time it gets back to the tank,
that's my point. You have heat loss.
You'd have to insulate all the lines. Yeah. Like, it's complete bullshit. And I've spoken to
I fully agree.
Efficiency people. I've sat down, discussed the numbers, and I'm like, that shower has to be right above that hot water tank for there to be any fucking benefit. Yeah. Otherwise, the numbers start talking about 10, 15, 20 plus years that you'll see it's not fucking worth it.
I said
it's more valuable to cut that thing out and sell it on the fucking black market.
Scrap shop's my best friend. But I said in my first year of my apprenticeship that those things are going to end up being a lawsuit, because I went to we used to have the old copper drainage.
Yeah.
And what uric acid does to copper is just eats away at it till it's paper thin and it pulls it. Yeah. Now, I used to think that those things were all one consistent, like it was all together. The tubes and the inner tube was all together. It's not. It's a copper pipe, and then they just tack it on with two welds, the outer stuff, right?
That's all it is.
So I thought that my original thought was that over years, you're going to have the uric acid rot out that copper, then get into your water supply, and then you're going to have a lawsuit. Now that I see it, as I've experienced the trade more, I think that those are just going to rot out and leak onto people's floors. And a month ago, I went and took out four of them because of that exact thing. They eventually were, up in
Innisfil. These are new.
I don't know how old the houses are.
So now we're going back to water now, right? Because here's my thought process is get rid of that heat recovery stack bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
And I think building code should have water softeners or purification systems in homes.
The issue with that, though, is you need to have it universal. And water softeners have a lot of problems with people that are on septic systems.
Well, that's where, so you have to build for traditional urban and then septic systems.
Yeah.
You have to have two separate codes of that you're designing. But a water softener purification system will help the benefit of the home long-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not going to destroy fixtures as long. You're not going to destroy the whole infrastructure of plumbing as fast, I mean. So that has more value than this heat recovery stack. But I go back to the politician, and they're the ones that are... It's a Nancy Pelosi bullshit. Yeah. Like, you cannot have... Nobody that is dictating what code should be should have a conflict of interest regarding making money off of that item being put into the code.
But that's where I was going to ask you is, what are they, backflows, for example, are huge in commercial, but there's talk of them going into residential because of the issue of when the fire department comes and they turn on that water tank or the truck and they pump from the hydrant, you can have water pull into the wherever they could have their hose and some chemical spill, whatever. Or if you got a pool and somebody's filling up with that and they don't want that getting back into the city system. So that's expensive too.
It is expensive. Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying with that. I get it. But how often does that happen?
That's the thing. But with backflow, from what I've been told, is you have to think of what could happen. It's not, it's going to happen. It's what could. What if somebody hooks up the hose on the outside of the house to this?
What if we just build it a little bit better so then it will never happen? We do this in construction all the time. Certain things are built all the time to last a certain amount of time. Generations lasting, I'm talking about, right? If you go to Italy and you see El Domo, that thing's 400 years old. It's designed on pressure and brick horizontally and arches. And the way, like, that's not going anywhere unless it's a Michael Bay movie. Then it's going to fucking get destroyed, right?
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. It's like, I don't care about what if it could happen. Why don't we just build it so then it will never happen?
But that's the thing with backflow is you can't do, the backflow is just.
But the backflow is somewhere on the city side then.
Yeah, but that would be inside your house.
Yeah, outside your house, but an accessibility. So then it's that point, right? Or are you asking to put it inside the house?
You would have to have it inside the house unless you're going to have a giant box.
You're dealing with a city like Toronto that still has overhead wiring.
I don't ever want to work in Toronto. I hate when I have to go to Toronto. That city's a disaster.
Because it's a shit show. They don't care about...
The infrastructure can't support
three
the
letters,
population.
Man. LRT. It's just like ridiculous that this thing hasn't opened up yet, right? Yeah. And we've all seen the jokes about Tupac. You know what I mean? Finding the murderer of Tupac versus the LRT opening it up, right? It's just, you can't fight these animals. And these animals are like designed by a lot of backdoor deals going on.
Yeah. It's so just money.
What I'm very respectful of is, you know, you want to learn a lot of tricks by any trade at all. Get friendly with whatever trade you want to get friendly with, right? Just get to know them, pick their brain, shoot the shit. If they're good people, they will always teach you. They always share information, right? Go to their homes, depending on their trade, see what they've done upgrade-wise. See what a plumber does. See what an electrician does. Yeah. See what all kinds of individual... And then same thing, if you're a plumber and you're good friends with an electrician, if you guys are like Montagues and Capulets or some shit like that, right? You're still picking each other's brain. It's like the plumber's asking electrician's asking the plumber. And I'm telling you, they are modifying things outside of the OBC code. They're doing it because they know it's better.
Yeah.
So why isn't the government not paying attention to what we are doing, what is better?
I think it's just money. Maybe it is just politics. Maybe they don't
politics,
know.
Politics, money, corruption. Oh, it's a bunch of shit. But it has nothing to do with the homeowner and building a better structure.
Which is why, like, going back to your water softeners, I think every home should have a water softener. Yeah. I think the scale is like 0 to 10 particles or grains is considered okay.
It's bad.
You should all have one. If you have if you're somebody that has a custom home and you have black fixtures, that's your worst enemy, because give it a few months and you're going to have that white shit build around your side. Oh, it looks like crap. Get a water softener.
Don't worry.
It'll
you
completely
just go on
help
TikTok
with that.
And all of a sudden you get all the little tricks on how to clean that up and shit like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Then they just destroy it. They use the wrong things or whatever.
And then they call you and they're like,
but that's what
how
makes
much?
You guys, like, that's what you kind of almost want those people to create these serviceable situations for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, for me, I want to build a business on integrity. And from what work I have done on my own time, I don't want to be a one-time customer for people, or I don't want them to be a one-time customer for me. I want to, when I go like and snake any drain, especially if it's your kitchen drain, every time I follow up with, listen, here's some ways that you can prevent me from coming back. I don't want to be here every 2 months because you keep flushing grease down the drain. I don't want to be here every 2 months because your son keeps flushing shit down the drain. There's stuff you can get to maintain stuff. Now, I'll say don't use Drano. Drano's shit.
It's
but
brutal. It's fucking.
If you want to maintain your plumbing system, the best way I know is if you have a bathtub and you're not on a well because you're going to run
Let's
out of
talk
well water.
Just regular.
Yeah, regular maintenance. Fill up your bathtub once a month, once every 3 months with hot water. Pull the drain. The amount of head pressure that's in that is going to clean out any shit that's inside your plumbing system along the main pipe.
Like
you want to maintain your, especially your shower, your tub, your kitchen sink, anything that you use besides your toilet because it's pointless to do this. Go get a septic tank cleaner. Just pour a capful down every night. Or sorry, once a week, overnight, go on with your day. It's not acidic, so it's not going to eat through your pipes. It's just going to, it's an enzyme cleaner. It'll eat away at any grease, hair, spit, soap, all that shit that's in your pipe that causes clogs. Go get it. Maintain your plumbing system. People don't get your house. Your is a constant maintenance thing. You go to the mechanic and he's going to charge you $117 an hour.
I agree.
And you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah, it's the same thing. You got to get your oil changed every 10,000 kilometers. You got to maintain your plumbing system.
You do it before then. The companies are telling you to do it later because they want things to fall apart. Has Costco started selling baking soda boxes that are the size of a smart cart now? Because I'm using baking soda everywhere now. Baking soda and vinegar for me, either apple cider vinegar or regular vinegar, just down the fucking drain. Yeah. We've all been in science class. We've seen what happens, right? It starts to eat away shit at that. Yeah. That's just baking soda and fucking vinegar.
Yeah.
Put and that down the drain.
But again, that's like the whole integrity thing. I'd rather educate you to the best of my own knowledge after I've done work in your house, or if I've installed something, here's how you can maintain this better so it'll last you your life. Then I'm not calling out any companies. I went to a house for a main drain clog and it was grease on a kitchen line. And they had had a company come out prior to me, I think about a month or two before me. And the girl was like, oh, well, we've been pouring this down the drain. They sold us this after, said it would help. And it was their own bottle, their own brand. And I was like, can I see it? So I took a look and then pulled up Drano, and it's fucking Drano with their name on it. I'm like, that's just an upcharge. Wow. That's embarrassing. You make plumbers look like shit. Like that's
creative marketing on the shelf, because you get homeowners get on the shelf. One-time
customer though.
Yeah, and they just grab that shit.
Am I going to call you back? It's backing up again. And you sold me this and it's not working. I'm not calling you back.
So here's a question. I've had this conversation before. I think it was, how far back are we going to go that showers and washers were upgraded to 2 inches?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how far back are we talking about?
I don't know how far
10, back. 15 or so years?
Yeah, because I think my house is...
But before then, 20. It was always inch and a half, right?
Yeah, the standpipe.
Inch and a half. But now you started introducing...
2 inch high, for sud zones.
High efficiency washers, and all of a sudden you had such a volume coming out at the same time. So then they upgraded it to 2 inches, right? And then the drains made a lot of sense. And I remember Sam the plumber teaching me a little lesson there recently, where he was like, it's not calculated on the size of the pipe. It's calculated on the size of volume of air that can move through that pipe.
Yeah, you're supposed to have a rating of like on a vertical, it's like... Nobody quote me on this. I think it's like 70% water, 30% air. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
And as soon as you hit those milestones, then you got to start up.
Increasing. You can change that with slope on the pipe.
Why are we still dealing with kitchen sinks at an inch and a half?
Yeah.
And then I have plumbers tell me, he goes, listen, you have to keep it an inch and a half, because if you go larger, you're going to start to build up, or possibly you're going to get too much volume going down too quickly. And I'm like, well, what's the negative on that? I don't understand that. Inch and a half, and I've seen this in my own, right? Inch and a half is just like clog because you got grease going down there. I get it. I understand that, right?
It's impossible to
avoid. But it's like I changed it quickly to 2, and then I quickly changed it to 3. It eventually gets to 4 real fast within like...
The second it goes underground, it's all 4 inches.
Less than 20 feet, it gets to 4.
Yeah.
On a whatever 1% or whatever slope it is, right? Whatever you guys are, the cue ball goes down, right? So why aren't we just, and then in commercial applications, how big is the drain there?
When you're onto a 3-compartment sink, because that's most of the time what you're in, it's 2 inch. But for like hand sinks, food prep sinks.
It's all inch and a half?
It's all inch and a half.
It's all inch and a half still, eh?
Yeah.
But how quickly before it hits a 3 or 4? It's a 4 in commercial, no?
No, because most of the time you're going to go into a grease interceptor first.
Yeah, you have to go to there first.
And then
that
depends on that's all the engineer. So I don't know. I've gone into ones that are 2-inch inlets and ones that are 3-inch inlets. So that's all spec'd by an engineer beforehand based on the gallons per minute that go into the grease interceptor.
Yeah.
So I have no issue with the inch and a half on a kitchen sink because it doesn't see a whole lot of volume. And just increasing the pipe size and... My eyes is all you're doing is just adding more space for shit to build up. Eventually it's going to build up regardless of how big you make that pipe.
If you're going on a vertical, what does the water do? Remember?
It spins around, but still you've only got so much velocity. Like it falls like 7 feet per second.
Okay.
So it's still falling 7 feet.
Cyclones.
Yeah. It's still 7 feet per second. It's falling regardless of the size of your pipe.
Yeah.
The issue is when you come from a vertical to a horizontal, is a lot of guys will use those short sweeping 90s. So there's two types of 90s, the shorts and the longs. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. No, double 45, you should always have.
You're hitting a wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like driving your car 100 miles an hour and then boop.
Yeah,
right?
That's not a good move. Can't, yeah,
exactly. That's where
ideally
I find...
Ideally 245s.
Yeah, ideally. Or having a 4-inch, your underground being 4-inch immediately because it's such a big pipe.
Yeah.
That's where I found a lot of the kitchen lines that I've had backup, not just along the branch. Like, you'll get the ones that are in the trap or whatever. That's a lot of the clogs. But anything that's past that is typically right on that 90 in the older homes because I'll see them on 3-inch underground is typically it. And then... It backs up. I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. Let's go call someone because I don't have a camera. Call someone on the camera, locate. We'll break along the stack. We'll just upsize it. Goes to the 4-inch, change a couple things to make it to our modern code. And I haven't had callbacks. Now, again, you can argue that.
So that's from upsizing it, though. Right?
I upsize it to 4-inch underground every time.
What was it before? Like 3?
3-inch, yeah. For just the kitchen sink.
It's got to be 4, man.
Go to Toronto, man.
Really?
It's terrible.
Three?
Yeah. Underground in Toronto, a lot
of
those houses.
People are lazy, man. They pour every fucking thing down the drain.
Yeah.
Wet wipes and all that crap, man.
Oh, hey, flushable wipes are flushable. They're not drainable. That's another thing I'll tell people. I don't want to come back to your nose.
There's a difference. Flushable wipes.
Yeah. I've seen like Roger Wakefield did a thing where he like took a bunch of brands, put them in some water, pulls them out, and some of them fall apart. But I'm like, no, because nobody's cleaning your pipes when they install
them. Well, see, this is what I have a problem with is that these little videos that these guys are creating, they're not creating them in real world settings. I need to use a setup clear pipe.
Yeah.
And I need you to flush that.
No, I would do plastic pipe because that goes to my point of people don't clean the pipe. Nobody's going to ream and shamp for your mains.
No, I want to do it as a first test and you want to send it out. I want to see what that wipe is going to do.
Yeah, but on clear pipe, I guess you could get plastic that does it, but most of it's glass.
Yeah.
On plastic pipe, because you get all the burrs and shit, that's where your stuff gets stuck. That's why I would do it on that and throw a camera down. Like, this is why everything backs up. It's not, it's flushable. It's going to go down your toilet. That's great. Ta-da. It's going to get stuck on one of those burrs. It's going to get stuck on a bend. It's going to get stuck on your turd that was too big to keep going. Like, that's where you're going to get your blockages.
Another interesting conversation I had with a plumber was vent stacks coming out of the roof line. How code is 3-inch.
Yep.
Right?
For hoarfrost.
But every time, like, I hear squirrels running because I got vaulted ceilings, right? Mm-hmm. So I can hear them running across, right? I keep imagining these squirrels looking for their nuts, looking into the hole, right? And I'm like, these squirrels are smart enough because they always land like Iron Man. So it's like they're probably looking in the hole going, I wonder what's inside that hole. And then I keep having this vision that this squirrel's going to get stuck in the vent stack, right?
I've never had that.
I'm just saying, I have this thought process. So all of a sudden I'm chatting, I'm having this conversation. I go, don't they have like little grills, right? So you could put a grill in there so the squirrel can't go inside there, right? But then the problem is now snow.
Yeah, you have that frost.
So you'll get accumulation of snow because you've got that grill now, and now you might actually block because you can't have the vent stack too low where you'll get a huge snowfall and it goes up and now it starts to block.
Something I learned in trade school is in Nunavut, speaking of snow, is they have these, I think they're called power vents. So the vent goes up, and you do this with an electrician talking about you need to communicate with each other's trades. It's powered because they have so much snow that you need to have that vent heated. Yeah.
Wow.
It's fucking cool.
See, I wonder if the squirrel's going to go inside there.
I don't know. It's going to burn its ass. It's going to go, never mind.
But you always have these thoughts, like you're thinking, is it going to get stuck? And all of a sudden you got this bushy tail sticking out and he's stuck and he can't get the fuck out of there.
Oh,
right?
Never mind that. You put the snake down and grind it up. That would be a horror show.
No, because you don't know how that vent is going to make some moves to get down to where it's got to get down to the basement somehow, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Also, those things smell like shit, so I don't know if the animals really want to go down them too. Because you're kind of smelling the entire neighborhood.
You're just assuming
shit.
They probably take a whiff and then they get the hell out of there, right?
Like, it's not the best smelling thing. I've snaked from them before.
You haven't had a chance to deal with inspectors yet, eh?
Yeah, I have.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
How was that experience?
The last one I dealt with was awesome. Great guy. No problems. He did the odd, like, hey, by the way, that's not legal. Change that. Send me a picture. I'll let
what
you pass.
What was it?
So this is new to me because I went from residential to commercial is floor drains. They're like hub drains. So you have your trap underground. Then you have your drain sticking up through the floor like a big cup. And then you don't directly connect your sinks to that. They go into the funnel, right? So if you could imagine, this is your floor, your cup sits like this.
Yeah.
You still have to trap it for whatever reason, which I also got into an argument with an inspector. I'm like, what does a trap do?
Trap it before it goes into the funnel?
Yeah. Which, again, this is where I argued with an inspector. I'm like, okay, what does a trap do? And she's like, oh, well, it protects from sewer gases and whatever. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a basic, but sure. I'm like, it's not connected to the sewer gas, though. It's
hovering.
Yeah, the gas is getting protected from the trap in the floor. It's hovering, right? Like you said, there's an air brake. So she argued with me on it, whatever. Plus, if I'm not wrong, you're supposed to, every trap has to have a vent. These don't have vents. So you just have your pipe comes off your tailpiece into your trap. Then you go over and then you drop down with a 90 into your hub drain. So what I also learned from the inspector that I liked is that even though it's not vented, I still had to have a certain distance between the trap and the 90 going down in order for it to not siphon and create an S trap. So I think it's 1 times the bite diameter. Somebody's going to call me out on that.
I don't know exactly.
So it's like for an inch and a half trap, I think you have to have a minimum of 3 inches before that 90 goes down.
Before the 90 goes.
If I'm not mistaken. So I did it hub to hub and just shoved it down. He's like, no, it's S trapped. I'm like, it's fucking S trapped either way, man. There's no vent.
I don't know that one.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get more. Yeah.
You learn, commercial is very interesting. I find the inspectors, I haven't ever had a problem with one. I also take pride in my work, so I'm not trying to cut corners.
What's their main objective, an inspector in a commercial application? It's just proper venting, no?
No, they go over everything with you.
Yeah?
Yeah, because, again, everything's pre-spec'd by an engineer, so I'm sure they probably talked to the engineer beforehand, but they have the blueprints there anyway.
So they see exactly where
what's that? And, yeah. Well, that's my floor sink.
That's the beauty that's of my commercial. But yeah. In residential, the primary is...
I never talked to one in residential.
No?
My boss dealt with them.
All they really care about is the venting.
I don't even think
depending on how the horizontal the verticals
depends on the site. That I'll give you is some sites they want the stack your drains filled, they want it water tested, and then your water lines air tested. Called
assholes. Like
you should do that.
Well, you could pressure, man.
Yeah, pressure test is a little bit harder though.
And also the other thing is, I don't know, are they still forcing some plumbers to go right to the roof line, or are they fine with?
No, you do 40 inches above your.
Your last one. Yeah, okay. Yes.
Which I'm fine with that. I think you should test your drain lines for leaks. And that should be standard. Then your air lines, obviously, your water lines should also be tested. Some of them don't give a flying fuck about the drains, but they just want to see the air test. They walk in, look at the dial, go, okay, yeah, sick. Or they don't even look at the dial. You could have dropped from 120 PSI down to 80 overnight, and they'll just come open the shower head and look at that, psst, and they're like, okay, cool. And they walk out. I'm like, oh my God, then you wonder why there's so many problems with these houses, man.
But that's how it used to be, right?
It's still like that.
Yeah?
Yeah, you should have more pride.
I wonder if it's like designed that way just for the possibility of serviceability in the future.
Yeah, once you hit that, failures. What is that, the 1-2 year warranty? Then they're like, hey, you're not our problem. Know. Yeah.
Are you a copper or are you a PEX guy?
I love copper. Like I said, I take pride in my work. So I have some clean solder.
Is there more volume in copper? Or is there more volume in PEX?
More volume in copper because it's half inch copper is half inch copper, whereas half inch PEX is like
3/8.
3/8, yeah, 5/8, something like that. I don't remember. 3/8, I think.
Half inch PEX,
or 3/4.
Half inch copper is the equivalent to 3/4 PEX.
PEX, yeah.
Volume wise,
yeah.
And when I'm trying to figure out a shower or I'm designing something, I want volume.
Yeah. So, I think if you install copper properly, if you sit there after you've cut it, you ream, you chamfer, you clean your fittings, you don't apply a glob of paste, you take your time to solder it nicely so that you're not caking it in there, it's just dripping off or not enough. If you take your time with copper, it'll last forever. And you clean it off after. Nobody cleans their shit off and then it goes green and then it leaks. If you take your time with copper and you have some pride in your work, it'll last forever. However, I do understand how much cheaper PEX is, how easy PEX is to install. The labor is so much cheaper and it's easier to fix. Like if somebody gets a pinhole leak on a PEX line, snip, coupling, done, see ya. Whereas copper, I'm like, fuck, I hope this has play. Where you got to move everything around. Like, oh man, I appreciate both. But if you take your time with copper, Yeah, I appreciate copper.
But it's amazing how the HVAC guys are always still doing all kinds of copper ProPress in the actual mechanical room.
I like
room,
ProPress.
Right, which is good. It's expensive. It's becoming cheap. It's the way it's going to go. But I just, I base everything on volume. I need movement, right?
Upsize your packs.
You like can't if I was to do a custom home. 1 inch or whatever now?
Yeah, most water services come in at 1 inch now.
Yeah.
For packs.
No. For fixtures to go to certain. You only do the master that way.
I would, if I was to do a custom home, I would not run, if because most of the time you're doing branch truck and branch method, or you just run your things and pick up everything to a manifold. Yeah. If I was to do a custom home, I would do it in 1 inch, the whole thing, run my risers in 3/4, and then just do my fixtures in 1/2 inch. That way you're still getting that volume, but you're going to have pressure at the end. So when you get your, because as you decrease in volume, you're going to increase your pressure. So that's how I would run a custom home. But I don't know nobody does that because it's expensive. But like upcharge, whatever, if you like it, you're going to get customers that'll call you because I never have problems. Like, yeah, you never have problems because I sized it better.
I look at it. Okay, it's kind of funny. We've been comparing a lot of electrical and plumbing, right? Electrician and plumbers. I see that the electrical trade has been given so many more things to add to their scope.
Oh, yeah.
But it's always been, if you bare bones it down to 14-2. 14-2, 14-3, pulling wire, running through, full lines to every device, all that shit, right?
It's happening with us now, too.
But plumbing, it's gotten to the point where it's like all they continue to do is just make everything easier, but make the end fixture more complicated.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking more of the schooling aspect.
No, not the schooling part. I'm talking about reality here, construction, right? So it's like, so you make everything easier in plumbing, but then you're making the fixtures more difficult. And I keep thinking that if you went the old school way of doing the runs, those fixtures would probably work better.
That, and again, with just doing regular homes that you're going to buy from whatever builder, it's typically built by a piece worker. They're just going to slap it together to get out. Whereas if you take your time, you can make that stuff work. But I find, I don't know, man. I think there's a lot more getting added to both trades.
There's a lot more getting added to a lot of trades, right? But I just feel that electrical is getting so many more things added to it.
In what aspect?
Who was it? Was it Markle? Mario? I can't remember. Electricians are now adding EMP protectors.
Oh no, it was Carlo posted that.
Was it Carlo. Yeah. I was chatting with Carlo about it.
Yeah.
I was like, dude.
I saw that. I was like, what's
going on here, man?
Yeah.
He goes, I'm going to try that. He goes, by surprise. I go, what's the difference?
Yeah. I talked to Carlo. He's saying, and the other electricians I've talked to have said that they're getting a fourth year of schooling added because of the amount of shit added to their code. Other problem that they have is they'll have like, you'll be like, all right, Friday, I got the weekend to study. I got my test on Monday, like to write your red seal. And then Monday morning, they're like, all right, we added this to the code. And they're like, what the fuck? So I've heard that from electricians. However, that's happening with us too. What they were showing us in school is that it's not going to be 9,000 hours anymore for your apprenticeship. It's going to be 7,300 less hours, but you're going to do 4 semesters of schooling. I don't know when that's going to come in.
What's the logic behind that?
Because now they're going to start teaching you more of the hydronics and all that kind of shit. Because I'm not going to learn that while I'm in school.
No, you can't.
But that's still up and coming.
But you got to get onto a business that's going to be doing that as a part of their bread and butter, right?
Well, once that becomes a kind of a standard, you're going to, and I think you should, I think the schooling should be changed. I think they should take out welding. I'm never going to weld. I'll call a welder when I need to weld. They should bring back gas because every freaking plumber's got their gas license. So get like at minimum, get your G3 while you're in school. Then come out, you're a licensed plumber with G3. You want to go get your G2? Go do the course.
I agree with you, but you got a government that's trying to eliminate gas in this country.
The government is not advertising the trades the way they should.
How should they?
Like I said, you still have that stigma that's associated with it. Doing the whole like, there's more reimbursements, more of this, more of that. No.
What do you think rebates?
Because when we go to school, we get, I think it's like $1,000 for a tool grant. One, up that shit. because
$1,000 you could buy two tools.
I could buy a hand tool with that. So up that you shit. Could buy a that's, bag. That's part one is up your grants because the grants are a joke. I don't think they've changed those since the 90s. Adding more schooling to it too, I understand. Change the schooling. If you're going to add hydronics, like I said, take out the welding. I'm not going to fucking weld. I'm not a welder. I'm going to call a welder. You want to add hydronics? Add hydronics by all means. I got into the trades because I suck at school. I'm not a school person. I learned, you throw me into a field and go, figure out this pump. All right, sick. I'll have that pump working for you. Sit me in a classroom. I'm going to zone off. I don't know what's going on. So now I find the majority of people I know got into the trades because they do not like school. They're not good at school. A lot of people are freaking high school dropouts that get into the trades. But tradespeople are the smartest people you will ever meet.
Yeah.
That's another stigma that needs to die. Tradespeople are fucking brilliant. So for me, pushing more schooling into it is not helping. Doing a one-to-one ratio where you have one journeyman for every apprentice needs to be done. Like you have whatever it is, it's like 50 people leave and one person comes in. Pardon?
Who dictates that?
I think that's the government.
Is it the government?
I'm pretty sure it's either them or the ministry, but that needs to be changed. I feel like I'm confident enough now to take on an apprentice. I think I know enough that I could teach you the basics. I'm not going to be able to teach you freaking everything, but like, or change the licensing even. The way they do it in the majority of the states, to what I know, is after 3 years, you become licensed like in the municipality or it's within the state.
Okay.
Then if you want to do your extra 2 years is when you become your master's. Do something like that. Do, okay, once you hit your third year, if you want to just work residential, you can go work residential, license, go do your own thing. If you want to go into a commercial or a high-rise setting, then yeah, you got to do the extra 2 years. You got to go write a separate exam. There should be some incentive for that. But like, I don't want to be in school. I hate school. I didn't get into the trades thinking that, oh, you have to be smart. And you learn that the hard way when you get into it. But that should be more incentive for me if to get people into the trades. Is make your grants better, fuck off with the schooling or fix it because it's a joke. And like I said, you got to change the licensing because if 50 people retire and again, I don't know, stats,
the numbers,
one guy's coming in,
we're not replenishing.
You're going to get fucked.
Yeah.
Long-term, you're going to get fucked when there is all these guys that are retired and there's 10 plumbers in the city that can actually do something. Everybody else is an apprentice. Everybody else is trying to get an apprenticeship and cut down on the people that are gatekeepers of apprenticeships. That shit needs to be documented some different way because I know a lot of people. Actually, one of my brother's friends is just getting into the trade right now. He's been doing it for a year and a half. No apprenticeship because the company won't sign him up. I'm like, there's grants and incentives for you to sign people up. Why wouldn't you?
Because they don't know about it or they don't trust the grants coming into their business.
That should also be pushed more. That's another thing that I think that's on the ministry. Bless you.
Did I sneeze?
I don't know.
I coughed.
That's another thing that the ministry should work on is there's a whole bunch of shit.
Well, here's the simple
thing.
I could solve all those problems by the ministry. Just get the fuck out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I fucking agree.
Just get the fuck out. And listen to the tradespeople. Listen to the ones that have been doing it for decades, the ones that have seen the evolution of construction and seen the evolution of tradespeople.
Yeah.
And listen to them on what should be done. I think a survey should be sent out to every single tradesperson that's been like 20 plus years in the industry. And you got to touch every single trade. Every single one, right? Not just plumbers.
No,
you
got
to touch every single one. Yep. And you're going to pay all these tradespeople to fill this out. You're going to give them a good check to fill this out, and they're going to tell you what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And then you're just going to let AI get all that information, put it together, and that's going to reformat the whole fucking industry.
Yeah.
And it's not going to involve a single minister, period.
No. Get your fucking lawyers out of the way.
Yeah.
I don't care. You went to school and you have $500,000 in student debt, good for you. I work in the industry. I understand how it is. I understand the majority of people get into the trades for the same fucking reason. Like, yeah, there's obviously people that get into it because they like it. There's people that get into it because they're generational.
I think the majority of people
are
getting into it because they see a lot of potential.
Yeah, there's that. You're never going to lose your job and the influencers online.
Yeah.
Like, that all needs to be taken into account because that's what's going to push the industry forward is people like My Plumbing Adventure, Vader the Plumber, the Plum DeLorean, those kind of guys that put it into a positive light are what are going to make people go, oh, fuck, you know, maybe electrical is pretty cool. HVAC sounds cool. Maybe being a welder is cool. Maybe drywall's for me.
Am I wrong to say that there's probably more plumbing people on social media than electricians? Sharing stuff?
I follow three electricians.
No, but I'm just looking at it. Like,
yeah, I know.
I got a cross-section of everybody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just, I get the sense that there's probably more people doing things on social media
as a
that
plumber.
Are plumbers.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Versus electricians,
yeah,
right? Yeah,
because like, I have like three electricians I follow, whereas, I'm also a plumber.
I follow a bunch, but the thing is, they're not as engaging as the plumbers out there. The plumbers are sharing a bunch yeah. more, right? Look at Megan, look at like, and all the plumbers that I met at the show.
I think it's
before.
Also just, again, I'm really fucking biased here, but plumbing is more entertaining to me than electrical. Like, oh, look at me pulling wires and putting in a generator. That's boring. Look at me snaking this drain and I pulled out all this hair. Like, that's cool. It's a little gross, but that like factor of it kind of entertains me.
I'm still trying to think, is plumbing more interesting than electrical?
100%. You can have all the electricians come after me for that one.
I'm just trying to think of it. Like, what is, I mean, okay, a sexy looking electrical panel, you know, wires pulled properly and set up properly. Great, wonderful, you know, stapling the cable all along. But then a nice looking wet wall, you know what I'm saying? Like a beautiful wet wall, especially a double vanity, especially if it's two bathrooms back to back to each other. It's like, and you got a proper wet wall and you're looking at it going, that looks kind of nice, man. But then you also got, you got manifolds possibly in the mechanical room.
I think mechanical rooms aside, rough-in plumbing is way cooler than rough-in electrical, but the finishing of electrical looks like shit looks better than
plumbing fixtures.
Plumbing fixtures. Yeah, look at this pipe coming out the wall.
I don't know.
That's kind of well, you're talking fixtures is different than like, look at the three pipes coming out the wall compared to look at this.
What, this freaking art piece? Cassette switch here and this timer for a fan?
Oh, no, I'm talking their panels.
But that's what I'm saying is like you said, get rid of the mechanical room. So now you got to get rid of the panel.
Oh, yeah, okay, then. See, right? Now you agree with me.
No, I'm on the same path where I think that when you look at a rough stage home,
plumbing's way cooler.
Electrical is what? Okay, you're running certain, and you got maybe some conduit. Maybe you're fishing something or you're planning for future pooping. And then you got a bunch of Cat 6. A bunch of Cat 6 everywhere. But that's not technically electrical. That's a different department. But I agree with you that I think that the plumbing looks better rough-wise. Finishing side, you got all the electrical finishing situations.
You have to be
electrical is supposed to be kept secret though. It's supposed to be kept hidden.
Yeah, I think you have to be into electrical to be an electrician. Because like looking at conduit all day would bore the fuck out of me. But looking at like some cool carriers with a bunch of like wall hung toilets, doesn't matter who you are. When you see all the copper back there, you're like, hey, that looks a little cool. It's a lot better looking.
Yeah, but I think electrical is trying to make a somewhat argument because they're accent lighting every fucking thing now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that underglow and stuff. Like your kitchen vanity is now a souped up car.
Toe kicks and all kinds of shit. I even saw a mechanical room recently. It had accent lighting around the diamond plate. And I'm like, okay, all right. And then I need to see an electrician now to do a accent lighting around the panel.
I mean, that would be kind of cool.
A little like glow. A
halo. Yeah.
But if you got a glow there, most panels are white or gray. You'd have to make the panel black to make it look interesting.
Put it on some black wall.
You can't do that. The breakers are all black. Can you? No, that would be a good looking
change,
panel.
Change. Yeah, that would be so
man, someone
cool.
needs to start selling up a business now. You can wrap panels.
Somebody's about to make millions.
Do a wrap. I remember one CMPX show. They were wrapping furnaces with like flames from the 50s. I can't remember the brand that was doing it. They had a whole series of furnaces and they all had like these artistic designs on each of them, unique stuff. And I was like, fuck, that looks cool, man. I totally would put that in the mechanical room.
Tradespeople, the only people never who get took excited off. About a mechanical room.
I know, but
room.
It never took off. And I was like going, why aren't I seeing these like cool looking artistic pieces of metal boxes? And then all of a sudden you park your gray standard box.
That's where you kind of have plumbing take over electrical too. Copper, if you make it look good, that's like art.
Yeah, but no. Okay, what percentage of plumbers are doing copper in residential?
Less if than you one, get it, maybe. Yeah, it's more custom homes.
Yeah.
You'll have
not
like,
even then.
No, if you have when we did was it hydronic, the whole room, like the whole house was on heated this, heated that. I don't understand it. But looking at it, you're like, oh, fuck, that looks cool because it's all copper, nice, neat. Every valve's in line. Every joint's in line. You sit there, you're like, I don't know what's going on, but man, you can tell the guy took pride.
It looks good.
It looks so damn good. Shiny copper on a black backing.
Who taught you how to solder?
There's a guy that works for Romeo named Bryden.
Okay.
I think his Instagram's The Plum Bomb. Doesn't post too often, but he's that guy's quality. That he is by far the best plumber I have ever met in my life.
What makes him the best plumber?
He's just really well-rounded. He's been doing the trade for a long time, and I think his problem is he lacks the confidence in himself to say that he's as good as he is, or he's very humble because he is a damn good plumber.
Okay,
but he's taught me everything. I've called him like middle of the night on call. Man, I've been snaking this fucking drain for 2 hours doing X, Y, and Z, and fucking this is not going, and this is backing up now, and I'm getting pissed. And he's like, okay, just describe the house to me. And I'm like, okay, well, there's a sink over here, and there's a toilet over here. He's like, okay, go behind the wall over there. There should be an extra stack. See if you can snake from there. And you're like, why the fuck did you know that was there? And then you go, and you're like, oh, yeah. He's like, okay, snake from there. Boonk. It all drains. You're like, fuck. Like, that guy's brilliant. And that's just the bottom of the line. That guy is brilliant. He's by far the best plumber. Very well. Again, he's non-union. The guy has the most well-rounded plumber and probably the best. Again, he is the best plumber, I know.
Why do most plumbers want to get into servicing? Is it because of the money? And why do most plumbers not want to be in servicing and just want to do custom new builds?
That's where
because of money?
I would say it's either a mix of money and... Either you're okay with being dirty and you don't want to be dirty.
Service, yeah.
You're going to be in the shit.
There's a lot of money in service.
Oh, yeah, but I like it. Like, send me in the septic tank. I'll die for the clog. I don't care.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't care.
But I mean, the same way that guys who do custom and just new builds, they don't want to touch that service because it's like...
They don't want to get dirty.
They don't want to get dirty.
And I mess up your roughing.
Brand new.
Mess up your roughing. I'll see it with the snake. Eventually I'll fix it. Show up
and service it.
Look at his solder joint. It's no good. He didn't clean it. See why it's all green? Then I go on, I'll make it look good after. You take more pride when in service.
You think it'll ever get to the point where ProPress will be so cheap that we'll get rid of PEX and go right back to copper with ProPress?
No, I don't think so, because copper's so expensive.
It's gotten more expensive too.
I like ProPress. I wouldn't do an entire building or entire house with it. I'd rather solder, because solder's tried, true, and tested. And it's been around for how many years?
Versus ProPress? No, ProPress has been around since late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, but compared to soldering?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to me, ProPress is more of that the water won't stop draining. I need to solder this joint. Fuck it, I'm going to ProPress. Or you have those slip couplings are awesome when you have like a tight spot. So you just slide it back, slide up your pipe, boop. I do appreciate the ProPress, but I love soldering. There's skill to it. That's... The skill in your trade is
what's
a guy
the trick
that can solder.
To soldering really nicely where it's perfect. It just dances right around.
Evenly. For me, the way I do it is after I've cut, I always clean the inside of the pipe to avoid any turbulence.
Of course.
When I clean my pipe, I also clean my fittings. A lot of people don't clean the fitting. If it's a brand new fitting, they won't clean it because they don't need to. I'd rather the rough metals in there.
I've always... Clean the fitting.
You'd be surprised
how brand new it is.
You'd be surprised.
You always clean it.
Oh yeah, there's guys that don't though.
Wow.
I only clean the fit or the pipe as far as the fitting engagement is going to be, because that's where the paste is going to go once it's heated. Yeah. It's not going to try and pull any further.
Yeah.
Unless you're on a vertical, then yeah. But my vertical soldering is pretty mint too. Then from there, don't overflux. Once you put your pipes together, wipe off the excess flux that's there before you've even heated it. Then you need to do capillary action. Heat up that with your torch. Your torch is on the opposite end of where you're applying your solder. If you're got a wall to the back of you, put the solder to the back of the joint. One, so you can make sure that you actually got solder back there. And two, you can see the ring just come in front of you. And it'll look nice. There's finicky. And then certain, like, you can play around with how much heat you're applying to different sizes of pipe and stuff. And then afterwards, wipe it off again with a nice rag. If you've got the fitting maybe a little too heated up, put a little bit of flux and then wipe it off. It'll shine up the fitting again. There's all sorts of stuff you can do. Yeah, that's years of experience.
But that's what I mean is that not a lot of kids know that, right? Like they
there's a guy in my school that doesn't solder. He doesn't know how. All he does is press.
Really?
Yeah.
But he's going to come across a situation one day where he's going to have to solder.
You would hope that he knows by
will.
That point.
It will happen. It's going to happen.
I'm like, man, that's
and then
crazy.
He's going to be lost.
Yeah. But he's been happy where he's at. I'm like, man, that's not good.
That's not good.
Yeah. When we're in shop class, he doesn't solder yet because we're in groups. So somebody else will solder. He'll go do
it. Was he afraid of the flame?
I don't know. He's a pro press guy. It's like a cult, man. It's like Milwaukee over Rigid or whoever else. When you join the Milwaukee cult, I'm staying Milwaukee. Like, I'll buy anything Milwaukee at this point.
No, because you're a plumber.
Yeah, that too. Milwaukee Tools has the best for plumbing, their tool line. And the fact that their fuel line has that fan that's in the back of the drills and stuff that spins.
Okay.
I know they're not waterproof, but I have put my drills submerged in that's the sump pits. To take off ratchets or whatever and pull them out, and they still work to this day. I've had the same drills since I started my apprenticeship, and they have not failed me. Those things are fucking awesome. And I watched a mechanic online try all the different torque wrenches, and his last test with the last two was whatever they use, Snap-on or some shit, and he dunks the Snap-on in water, and it breaks. The Milwaukee fan just shoots the water away from it. Milwaukee, by far, is the best tool brand out there. I'm so biased with it, though. I don't even care.
I wouldn't say they are the best, but they are definitely the choice when it comes to plumbers.
Yeah, and they're getting into the whole drain cleaning stuff now.
Yeah, that's anything to do with that whole
battery power.
HVAC plumbing, Milwaukee owns it. I laugh at any other brand that's trying to get into it. You guys can try all you want.
Yeah, don't come on the job site with your Ryobi.
I don't give a shit, right?
Even though it's the same thing as Milwaukee.
It's not going to work, right? No. I know, same parent company. I get it. Yeah. I understand all that shit. But,
no, but Milwaukee's the best, man.
I know. It makes sense, but that kid needs to solder.
Oh, yeah.
Practice. Go at home. Yeah. Take the end of a spool of some, like, whatever.
It's at the school. Just handful, a couple fittings. Go to the store, $16.
Just
buy a small length.
Put the flame on it, man. Yeah. What are you afraid of? I don't understand.
Solder. Yeah.
Your first one ain't going to be amazing. You're just going to fucking, like, you have to practice. As simple as that.
Get it down to an art.
What else you want to talk about before we wrap it up, Dave?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
What are you posting on social media? At Dave.drains.
Now that I got my my social media manager there, Laura.
Laura?
Yeah. I'm going to start trying
to install a heat recovery stack.
Fuck no, we'll take those out. I'm going to try and, I'm trying to post more often. Make my videos more entertaining, because before I was just posting whatever. So now she's like, make it more informative. Like, you have so much information, share it. So I'm going to try and do that. I want to try and boost the trades more, like as most of those guys are doing. Show, like, it's in a positive light. It's not a place to be miserable or upset, or you're going to get yelled at. But you're going to have your days that aren't great. But overall, I'm happy every day going to work. I learn every time I'm at work. I'm like, I don't care. You could send me anywhere as long as I'm doing plumbing, I'm happy. And I just want to show people, like, you can get a job that's not an office job that still pays well, and you'll take pride in your work. And it's more rewarding than sitting at a desk running Excel sheets all day.
It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But it is for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I think it's Georgian College. There's a college out there that offers... you get nothing out of it. I'm pretty sure it's free, but you get to try every single trade for 3 months. You go do your co-op, and then you can figure out if that's for you. That should be more.
That makes sense.
I know a guy that did that. He came to when I was at the plumbing expert.
How much time are you given to try it out?
3 months. They do every single trade, and then you do your co-op the last, I think it's an extra month, so maybe it's 4 months. But you do your co-op, and you pick what trade you want to go into.
What if on day one you start a trade and you don't like it? You got to still stay for the rest of the 3 months?
No, he says you do everything. So, like, you'll do 1 week of, I don't know, doing bricks.
Oh, next week I get it. I thought it was 3 months of each trade.
No, you do each. You're in school for those 3 months, and then the last month you pick a trade that you want to go do your co-op, and it's free.
What's the number one trade that everyone's choosing? It's got to be top three: mechanical, plumbing, or electrical.
Yeah, there's other trades out there. Like,
no, I know.
Yeah, that's what people need to look into. Yeah, but
they're not racing through masonry. They're not racing to roofing. They're not framing. Right.
But again, they're the three big trades. Like,
that's why.
Yeah. And plumbing's the best trade ever, so I don't know why you wouldn't want to come into it.
I gotta get an electrician back on the show so we can fucking even this out.
I'll come on with them and I'll shit talk them.
You guys can shit talk all you want. I'll just sit here and just make notes on the jokes, that's all.
Might get heated.
you ready for the 12 questions?
Yeah.
What is your favorite construction word?
Fuck.
What's your least favorite tool?
The basin wrench.
I hate that thing. What construction sound do you love?
The Ooga Doogas from the impact wrench. Yeah, classic.
What's your favorite beverage?
Whiskey sour.
What turns you on and off in construction?
Troubleshooting, it turns me on. I love anything that gets my brain going. Turns me off bad people with bad attitudes.
Favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
Indian Scout Bobber, looking well, to get that
you
one.
Were telling me about him. Yeah, who was it again here yesterday? He was trying to sell me on a Ducati Scrambler. I was like, dude.
No, you're going to die. Cruisers, man.
Don't talk to me about a Scrambler. What do you miss from your childhood?
The hopes and dreams of buying a house one day.
Not what you missed last week. What do you miss from your childhood, man? I get it. Trust me.
Yeah.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day? Electrical?
Man, I'd be at my like my worst day if I got into that. One day I think maybe I want to try out firefighting, even if it's the volunteer stuff. I like the challenge. I like helping people.
It's plumbing.
They
have some plumbing there. What profession would you not like to do?
Electrical.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Welcome home. I have somebody who's been waiting to see you.
Dave, man, thanks so much. I'm so glad that Laura connected us and we had this chat here. And anybody's got any hate mail, send it. I won't read it. I don't give a fuck. It doesn't matter at that.
I'll send them my way. I love to talk shit.
Yeah, you can reach him at dave.drains. Simple as that. He'll start working on that. And thank you, man. Thank you for having me on.
It's been great to meet you. Yep.
Pretty easy, no?
No stress.
Everyone always gets like this nervousness about, oh, I gotta fucking sing, and I'm just
not. Oh, no, I'll sing for you at the end. We'll do an outro for you.
Yeah, it's just like, come on. No, you do an outro? Which one?
I don't know. What song do you want?
I don't fucking know. Pick another song or something if you want to do an outro.
Well, you gotta get a theme song for your show, man. I'll start singing for you.
What are people listening to on the job sites these days, music-wise? Nobody's listening to them. Okay. Nobody's putting a radio on and listening.
Nobody come at me. I'm not being racist. If you're a lot of the drywallers are listening to the Spanish music because they're all Spanish.
Makes sense.
If you're bricklayers listen to a lot of Portuguese stuff.
Makes sense.
A lot of the concrete guys are a lot of Portuguese stuff.
And Italians. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Italians. Fuck. Who else is out there? Electricians get made fun of. They're not allowed. They don't get radio control. They're bottom tier trade. Plumbers will listen to everything. A lot of the framers listen to like rap and stuff like that. Just in my experience. And there's a lot of WAPs there too. I'm a WAP. I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good mix, but it depends on who gets into the house first.
Who sets up the radio?
Unless it's the electricians. Unplug your shit. The men are here.
I used to love like doing a job, and it was like a 4-story project, and all of a sudden there was a different radio, different
on every music story.
On every single story.
Yeah.
It's like, and I always try to walk faster through the story that had the country going, and I was like, man, I can't deal with the country.
I love the country.
But it made them work great.
I
was like, go ahead.
I used to work on a farm. I love country music.
I'm not a country boy.
I am, man.
I'll listen to occasionally some stuff here and there, but I'm not a country boy.
All I can see is country as our outro.
You could probably do that and get him back. So maybe I get you back with Laura. That'd be interesting to do that. I'll chat with her and we'll see what happens, man.
Hey, man.
Thanks, man. That's it. We're done.
All right, man.
Right here, Angelina.